Hey, Vicar, why don't you start us off today? See if you have it.
Okay, I think I got it.
Recorded live at Talks and Tasting Studios, it's the Clerical Errors Podcast, the podcast that shows you what's behind the collar. Let's go.
From the Talks and Tasting Studios, this is the Clerical Errors Podcast, the show that shows you
what's behind the collar.
I'm Vicar.
I'm Pastor. Welcome to the show. How you doing, Vicar?
I'm doing pretty good.
You know, I like this. Go ahead and just drive the show for a minute.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a big responsibility you just handed me suddenly without me being prepared.
Yep.
Okay, well, we've been working lately with our confirmation students, have we not?
And, certainly. It's been awesome.
Right, and I know our 8th graders are just about to go through the rite of confirmation.
That's right.
It's a good time to talk
they're
about.
Studying hard.
Oh, they're studying. Yep, they're getting ready. They have a big test coming up so that they can stand on Confirmation Sunday.
Hopefully they won't be studying with AI.
Yeah, we don't want that.
We do have a Quizlet for them. Do you know what Quizlet is?
I do know what Quizlet is.
Yeah. One of the kids made a Quizlet for it.
Oh. How is that different, Mom? I guess it's like memory cards, study cards or whatever, right? Like flip cards.
Yep. Except and it makes it into games and all sorts of things.
Right. Okay. Well, I guess that was effective. Some of the people at the seminary had done that also for some of the professors' classes. We could use Quizlet to study.
Cutting edge. Look at you guys.
Yeah. But the AI, I don't think that would help them in the test setting, right? Because they're going to be sitting in a room with pieces of paper, I assume, in front of them. Or is it oral test? Are they going to be writing? Or
written.
It is written. So I don't see how the AI would help them in that.
No.
Okay. We have the...
You remember that. It's not an easy test, is it, Pete?
No, it's easy. I could do it now.
Yeah, so...
I honestly don't remember. It has been, 15 years?
That's true.
That's a long time.
I don't remember every test I take. There's a lot of them.
That's true. So, what am I drinking? I have Coke Zero.
Oh, yes, what are you drinking? I think it goes up.
It's one of the, every once in a while, as a good supervisor, I got to throw a curveball, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yep. Right. I mean, I thought I was off the clock when I was doing the podcast, but apparently...
No,
not quite.
Okay. If I'm in the room, you're on the clock. Even at the Freak Factory.
Especially at the gym, right? Like,
Look, I get something off my chest about the Freak Factory.
Sure.
All right. One thing that has kind of made the Freak Factory kind of an awkward place sometimes is YouTube. Do you know why?
No.
Because every once in a while, you could just tell which guys watch working out YouTubes because all of a sudden, they're on the floor, doing one-arm kettlebell over their head and doing a bunch of weird exercises. You could just tell, they were watching some guy on YouTube who was telling them how to work out their rear deltoids the best way, according to science.
There was a guy the other day there that was doing... repetitive motion, obviously, on a machine, but he would do it really rapidly. Like he's lifting and he's just cranking away, going fast. And then he would let it come back down and slam shut, the machine and then kind of stalk away from it. And it's probably difficult to put into words, but it was just whole kind of caricature, of a guy working out frantically and then slamming it down and walking away. I did this thing. And it's like, but if it's that easy to whip back and forth, you're probably not lifting much weight.
Here's a secret, okay? The alpha at the gym doesn't have to do that to get respect.
Yeah.
Just saying that.
Oh, yeah, no, it makes sense.
Whether it's me, perhaps, or somebody else,
Someone. Yeah.
So, what do you have there, Vicar?
I brought Diet Twist Up, which is Walmart's version of Diet 7-Up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't have it in an imposter bottle because that just was a convenient container for me.
All right, and I've got... probably hurts you when you see me opening up with these little cans. You think, well, how much did you pay for that?
Oh, it does. There's no way you're getting the value for the quantity when you have a micro
it's
can.
It's delicious.
He could literally take that.
It tastes better.
Can into the communion, to the communion rail as an individual cup. It's that little.
Oh, come on. It's a solid 7.5 fluid ounces.
Right. No, it's a good marketing scheme from the Coca-Cola Corporation.
Well, I don't know. I usually want like a whole thing. And like when you have people come, you know.
You know, to be honest, because you're drinking, you know, the... No, that's a Coke Zero. I can't even defend it on that basis. I was going to say if that was a sugar soda pop, then yeah, you probably shouldn't drink that much. And the little size makes sense. But that's a diet one. That's a Coke Zero.
Right. But the thing is, in a smaller bottle, you drink it more slowly and you enjoy it.
Hmm.
I guarantee you, most people think it tastes better in a small can. Huh. What's your vote there, Pete?
I'm not listening. I'm sorry.
All right. No worries.
But we were talking about interesting thing.
Here's the deal. Bullhagen rolled in the studio and had half a top 12 list.
Oh.
So I'm writing the other half.
Well, dang. That's like actual intelligence. That's what the AI stands for when he makes you do the work, right? You're his AI actual intelligence.
Right. So, Vicar, what am I preaching on?
You are preaching on...
See, you should have asked me, right?
Oh, right. Now it's all upside down and I have to talk about it.
No, you can bring up the topic, but drive the show. See if you've got it in you. Come on. Let's do this.
Pastor, what will you
don't
be
worry.
Preaching?
Peter's not even paying attention.
Yeah, well, that's true. All right, I'll give it a shot. Pastor, what will you be preaching on?
I don't know, Vicar. What am I preaching on? We're recording a little early because
that's
what I'm headed as of publication of this by 3:30 in the afternoon. I should be a solid 20,000 feet in the air, slowly ascending up.
Yeah, because of the rapture, right?
Well, I didn't want to like get you worried.
Figured you'd, you know, calculated it out.
Right. I've been receiving text messages, so don't worry about it.
Okay. Right.
No, I'll be on my way to Sand and Sun.
Nice.
And to see the OG Bullhagen and his wife.
Oh, very good.
So.
Well, in this case, the sermon will be for the fourth Sunday of Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Your Sorrow Will Turn Into Joy. If we accept what the ESV editors have entitled the section of the book of John.
Yes. If listener, for your own notes, a vicar can't stand uninspired titles. That is one of his, that and small cans of Coke.
Yeah, those two things. Well, it's because of the Olivet Discourse, but you know me, I could get into that. I don't like the headings on the Olivet Discourse at all.
Yeah. Sometime you have to show me your Olivet Discord tattoo.
Yeah, that's a good idea. All right, but in fact, you are preaching on John chapter 16, verses 16 through 22. Jesus said, "A little while, and you will see me no longer, and again a little while, and you will see me." So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. And... because I am going to the Father." So they were saying, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him. So he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves, what I meant by saying, 'A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me'? Truly, truly I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also, you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you."
All right. So, this is kind of like a, I don't know why, every time I hear this, it reminds me of a magic trick.
It does. Now you see me, now you don't.
Right. Then you will see me. Ooh.
Which calls to mind the video clips where somebody's got a baby or even a puppy dog and they stand in the doorway and they hold a sheet up in front of them. Mm-hmm. And then they toss the sheet into the air enough for it to, you know, give them a moment to abscond away from the doorway. And when it comes down, the sheet's laying there on the floor and the person has magically disappeared to the bewilderment of the baby or the puppy dog.
So this here is going to be on Confirmation Sunday, by the way.
It is on Confirmation Sunday. That's right.
So does that make you think of what other things might be preached here? Well, one is you have the harshness of the world.
Yeah.
The world rejoicing in the death of Jesus.
Right.
Right?
That is harsh.
And their own sorrow in it. But for them to see that, don't worry, it's going to look like everything's losing. You won't see me, but you will see me again.
Right. And the sorrow is real. I mean, you know, they're not like, it's not an illusion. They have a reason to be sad.
Right. And you could say this too, okay? This rhythm that Jesus speaks of is really the rhythm of a Christian. You know, as Jesus predicts here, his death and his resurrection, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
You know, baptism in Romans 6 reminds us that we were buried with Christ and raised with him through baptism, right?
Yep.
So this death and burial has marked us too. We go through a cycle of sadness and brokenness in our sins, mm-hmm. and then being raised with Christ again. We go through the process of, through contrition and repentance, having our sins, bearing the cross in the same way, and then rejoicing in the forgiveness. We have the life of the church right now where we no longer see him, and yet we know that our sorrow will be turned to joy on the last day, that we will see him. But all along the way, whether it's on a daily, weekly cycle, the life of a Christian, life and death, it follows this same pattern that we have. And it's a reminder that in the darkness, hold on to what is right and what is true and to what faith is, which is one reason why this could be a very good text for confirmation. Confirmation is they're confessing a faith in what they don't see.
Yeah.
They are making a statement of, I believe what I do not see, above and beyond all the other things that I see. I understand that I rejoice in something different now than the world does.
Yeah.
And to remember that there are many enemies of the gospel, but there is only one Lord Jesus who wins. So that's kind of probably the direction I'm going to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. I have one more class with my students that I've been training them in the Old Testament for this whole school year. And I want to remind them, as I did on the first day, that confirmation, you know, it's a word in English and it means something that they are confirming or will be. Mine have more time to go than yours do because I have the younger ones. They will be confirming what was said at their baptism. And that's where a part of what the word confirmation means. And if you look at the two rites, which are just almost back to back in the Lutheran service book, you flip the page back and forth and you see a big similarity between the statements made at baptism, asking, do you renounce the devil and so forth, mm-hmm. and do you believe, and then using the articles of the creed. And those are said in both rites because they are confirming that they have now that faith in the things they cannot see, like you just said, but they have it. And that they are claiming that, so to speak, as their own and confirming right. the words that were said at baptism.
All right. So, Peter, how's my top 12 list coming?
I think it's ready.
Oh.
All right. So our top 12 list
yeah.
is probably next, but but I'm not driving the show, so.
Oh, come on. oh, my goodness.
I've really thrown you out of your comfort zone, haven't I?
Well, yeah, because I tend to wish to be prepared for things like, but.
Oh, that's overrated. I'm more of a spontaneity guy.
I know you are. That's right.
Peter, play the intro.
Enough nonsense. It's time for Bullhagen's Top 12.
All right. So last episode, as we were bemoaning AI.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right? All the threat that it brings.
Right. I kind of wanted to show you that AI is still limited.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Because I did one of our first few episodes. I had a top 12 list that that seems like handwritten for something AI to do.
Okay.
Something like the kind of question you would ask AI to do. Okay. I took to the top 12 parable haikus. So I wrote haikus based on the parables.
Right.
And does that not seem like that would be something AI would do?
It seems like they
write a haiku about such and such parable.
Right. I suppose the limitation, I'm thinking, I don't know where you got to it, but it seems like you would know which 12 you wanted, whereas the AI, you'd have to tell it each one, I assume, to
right.
do this one, now do this other one. And
right.
Right. So I already see that you'd have an advantage over the AI.
Oh, come on. I mean, because I took 12. That didn't like, the difficulty is the haiku itself.
Yeah, you not, actually have to write it.
Right. Not the picking 12.
Okay.
You say so. I mean, first of all, you know my top 12 enough that they're not actually ranked. Right?
In fact,
last one, I actually went backwards. Okay? So there's that.
There's that.
And also the fact that, you know, after 12, there's not like a huge amount of parables anyways.
Well, that's a good point. Right. In fact, I know I'm just the new guy, just the Vicar 19.0, but I was thinking, man, you bit off a lot whenever you established the pattern that this show would have a top 12 list on it. I mean, that gives you like a huge amount of work to do every time. And
I don't always do it, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of like,
that's true.
If I don't have anything, like, it gives me something to talk about.
Yeah.
A starter, if you will.
I suppose. I just think 12 is such a big number. Like, you know, like when I tried to do the 12 minor maladies that are actually worse than giving birth, you know,
yeah.
Well, after a while, you know, the joke kind of ran out and I had 9 more to go.
Right. I kind of like when I mentioned 225.
Yeah.
Right at 12, I start to get a little fatigued. So I understand, Vicar.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is, Peter, if you can read my writing well enough that you can figure it out.
I think so.
Okay.
All right.
So Peter, he will read the one haiku.
Okay.
And then you decide what parable you think it might be.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then we'll do the other, and then you have to vote which haiku is better.
This is probably because I mentioned that poetry is not in my wheelhouse, and I said that to you like really recently, so now right. I get to be a poetry judge.
You know I sniff weakness, right? I can spot that out.
Okay.
Number 12.
You are dead to me, squandered pigs, hungry last dead. Welcome home, my son.
Well, I have a pretty good guess for that one.
Yes. It's going to be hard for you because you have to name the title of it without... Well, it annoys you that there are actually titles for it.
I'm okay with titles.
Okay. This parable is commonly known as...
The Prodigal Son.
Right.
Yeah. But I don't know if you wrote that one or the AI did. Am I supposed to hear a second one now and then...
Yeah,
and
hear
then...
the second one.
Okay.
Second
so I haven't one. Heard all of what I need to hear yet. Okay.
All right. The second one is, a son leaves his home... returns with a heart renewed. Father welcomes him.
All right. You want to hear the first one again?
No, I'm okay. I mean, the second one is so much more natural sounding to me that I'm going to say the second one was wrote by a human and the first one by an AI.
The second one was AI.
Oh, unbelievable. So the AI wrote something so natural sounding that it actually convinced me because it was so, well, it was very linear. It's the way I would have written it.
Right.
So like I chose
it. But the first one had more info in it.
Yeah. Probably, but again, like, it probably goes over my head because I told you I'm not much of a poetry guy. So I hear the second one that's very linear, and I like that one.
Okay.
So I just assume a person did it, and I'm wrong.
Okay. All right.
Number 11.
Pharisee and tax. One prayed with pride, one with shame. God forgives us all.
I mean, I guess that is a parable, isn't it? I'm trying to remember. I know the account, but I forgot that it was a parable. I was thinking this was something Jesus had seen with his own eyes, the tax collector that goes and asks forgiveness, and he's beating
right.
his chest, and he won't approach because he's so ashamed
of the rich man and the Pharisee. It is parable.
It is a parable. Okay.
Well, right. So you want to hear the second one?
Yeah, I sure do.
All right.
Two sinners indeed. One seeks mercy, one glory. One is justified.
Well, once again, I really like the second one. So let's see. So I have to say, since I liked it more, then the second one must be the AI. And the first one was written by Pastor. Is that how it goes? Or did I get him
wrong? Again.
You are 0 for 2.
Oh, man.
What did you like about the second one? It was more theological, I think.
That's probably why I liked it. It got to the heart of the Lutheran doctrine of justification, which probably meant I should have guessed that you wrote it as the pastor, because it's unlikely the AI could have nailed the Lutheran doctrine so well.
Okay.
So I'll have to watch for that. Now I've got two clues. If it sounds real linear, it's probably the AI. If it's got a lot of Lutheran doctrine, probably the pastor.
All right. All right, 0 for 2.
Number 10.
The bridegroom is here. Ready. Oh, snap. It's out. Keep your lamps burning.
Yeah, well, that's the 10 virgins, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise virgins. Well, you don't like that title for it?
No, I'm thinking.
Oh, it might not be. I thought it was they didn't bring enough oil with them, and they had to run back to the shops to try to buy some.
Well, let's hear the second one.
Okay, maybe that'll clear it up. Maybe I'm wrong.
10 virgins await. 5 are wise, and 5 are not. Be ready for him.
Okay, so I think I'm right. It's the 10 virgins.
Like, right. All right.
But that second one sounded very AI to me, because it didn't really have much information. It just sort of stated the characters and then the moral of the story.
Right.
It didn't really have any story.
And
to
you
it.
Might not expect AI to use Oh Snap.
Yeah, that's true too. That's a good point. That was very human. So we could probably train the AI to use Oh Snap. But okay, so maybe I got that one right finally.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, the AI's, that was not a good poem. Here's the characters and here's the moral of the story. And that's, I mean, granted, in haiku, you don't have much time.
Number 9.
Tiny mustard seed grows into a big tree. Faith can move mountains.
Well, this is the faith of a mustard seed. I mean, it's one of the shortest parables, right? He just says, Jesus tells him that.
Yeah, the parable itself isn't that much longer than the haiku.
Yeah, that's right. Like the haiku might have lengthened it a bit. Padded it out.
All right, you ready to hear the other one?
Yeah, let's hear the other one.
The smallest of seeds, yet it grows to be the greatest, the kingdom of God.
Okay, so the second one had better theology in it, so I will guess Pastor wrote the second one.
That's correct.
Yes.
All right.
Nice. Now I'm getting it.
You're 2 for 2. 2-2.
2-2.
Two and two.
2-2. Yeah.
Two for 4.
Yeah, because Jesus says the kingdom of God is like.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it missed that aspect of it.
Yeah, it did. And I think that's why I felt the theology in the second one meant the pastor wrote it.
Number 8.
Seeds on rocky ground. Some grow, some wither away fast. Good soil bears much fruit.
All right. So that's, I don't know what we call that. It's the sowing parable. And so many of them involve seeds and sowing, so I don't remember if this one has a more distinct name.
This one's generally
name.
Called the parable of the sower.
The parable of the sower. Okay.
Yeah. All right. You want to hear the second one?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Farmer scatters seed. Road, rocks, thorns, and the good soil. God gives a harvest.
Yeah, I'm going to go pastor with the second one again, because it shows that the reality is that it's God who does the work regardless of the sower, and I don't think the AI would come up with that. So I say pastor to the second one.
All right.
Yep, you got it.
So you're noticing that the AI theology is not as strong.
It's not. It's soulless, like we kind of talked about last time. And so it can do like this mimicry of it, but it doesn't have it doesn't have the theology. It just has some words, like a clever word salad that can maybe on accident be accurate.
Number 7.
You have everything. I have nothing but God's grace. I have everything.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, it could be Lazarus and the rich man, but it's if it is that, then it's highly circumspect. It only kind of goes straight only to the heart of it without having any of the elements of the plot of the parable. So I'm not sure. That's the only one coming to mind right now.
Okay, you want to hear the next one?
Yeah, but hear the next one. That might help me.
Rich man and Lazarus. One lived in luxury, one poor. Death equalizes all.
Well, that's the AI. Whatever. That's the AI, I'm sure. Death equal. Oh, yeah, just what we teach every Sunday. Death equalizes all of us. That's pretty good. Wow. Yes.
That would be a great action movie, The Equalizer.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, there is a show called The Equalizer. It's got Queen Latifah in it right now.
Oh. Okay.
But that was clever because the first one had like the nucleus, like the bare nucleus of the moral only, and you stripped away all of the plot and left just a...
And I had a play on words.
Yeah.
Where
it was almost a chiasm.
Right. Can you read it again, Peter?
You have everything. I have nothing but God's grace. I have everything.
That's brilliant. I didn't know you were a poet. This is very talented, in my opinion.
Really? You think so?
I do think so. Have you practiced writing poetry? Or is
no.
This, okay.
I've written raps before.
Well, see, that's kind of the same thing, really. I mean, in a way.
So you got the first two wrong, but since then you're...
Well, yeah, I had to pick up like some of the, I don't know if clues is the right word, but some of the methodology, I guess, of analysis, the hermeneutics, if you will. But that's not to say I can't be tricked. I mean, if the AI synthesizes a haiku that happens to be theologically correct, it could trip me up for sure.
Number 6.
A servant owed much. King forgave his debt in full. He did not forgive.
So that's the ungrateful servant, I think we call it. But that is the parable of he owed 10,000
right.
talons, which he couldn't pay back in 1,000 lifetimes. And so it was forgiven him. And then he beats up the guy that won't pay him back like, a, I don't know, 6 months' wages or whatever it was. So yeah, the unforgiving or ungrateful servant.
All right. You want to hear the other one?
I do.
The Lord forgives debt, but we could never repay it. May we forgive too.
This one's a little bit challenging because they were both fairly simplistic in their presentation, but because the second one stripped out all the characters, which I don't think the AI would have done, I'm going to say the second one was written by the pastor and the first one by the AI.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because the second one, once again, went after the meaning
it
ultimately.
Did. And I know you start your sermons at, you open them practically every time with the application, which is kind of saying the meaning right now. What does this mean to you right now? And so your haikus are kind of trending that way as well.
Okay. All right. So yeah, you're doing well now.
Yeah. We'll have to see.
Number 5.
Two houses were built. Storm came. One crushed. One stood still. Build on Christ's word.
Okay. That's the wise man built his house upon a rock and the foolish man built it on sand.
Mm-hmm.
I suppose. I don't know what else would be. Okay, that's it. Okay, I was going to say, I wasn't sure I would have called that a parable. I mean, it's, I guess it is. I hadn't classified it that way in my brain. It was just sort of a saying, I guess. But I suppose it's got characters and plot. It's just short. And so I'd never really thought of it. Okay. All right. Another parable then.
The other one is house on rock stands firm. Built on sand, it falls apart. Foundation matters.
It strikes me as AI, but it's actually not bad. The second one does. Because I like the conclusion that the foundation matters, but something about it seems, I don't know, maybe because I've just, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that was the AI and the first one was by the pastor again.
That is correct.
Okay.
You got it.
Well, but the AI did a much better job on that one, I think.
Okay.
I like the conclusion that the foundation matters. That appeals to me probably because I'm a civil engineer.
Right. Well, how did the mine end it?
Build on Christ's word.
Right. That's another reason I guess I could tip it off to be the pastor because you get right to the heart of the matter.
Right. Build on Christ's word and foundation matters.
Yeah. Because instead of using yet another metaphor for your conclusion, build on a strong foundation or whatever, you say exactly what that foundation is, which is the word of God, Christ's
right.
word. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Good job.
Number 4.
Lost sheep wanders far. Shepherd seeks and finds his own. Joyful reunion.
Yeah. I suppose it's called the parable of the lost sheep.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it's a good one. Yeah. And it's the one that can give you hives if you worry about the 99. What? He left the 99? And it's not the point of the parable. The parable is the joy at somebody's salvation.
Correct. Correct. All right, the other one?
O Lamb, where are you? I leave others to save you. Every soul is precious.
It's probably because of what I just said that I will say the AI wrote the second one, because it emphasizes that he left others, which is, to me, not what that parable's about. It's, I don't know, so I will say the AI did the second one.
Wrong.
No, I got tripped up. But don't you see how, have you heard of anybody getting tripped up by that? What does it mean he leaves the 99 and get hung up on that? I don't know if you've ever encountered that in your career.
No, maybe a little bit.
Okay.
But don't you think that's kind of what part of it, though? Like, I mean, he does say, because remember, he's dealing with the issue of Jesus eating with sinners when he tells this. And so he's saying, and this is where Jesus says, I tell you, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over
one sinner who repents
than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent.
Which I've always thought was interesting, of course, because there's no such thing as people who do not need to repent. So this would be people who, in their own opinion, did not need to repent.
Right.
Okay.
So there is that. That's why that aspect is important, I think.
Right. Okay. Well, I'll have to go read that chapter again with all the before and after it, all the context, so I can understand that 99 okay. better.
All right.
Very good.
Number three.
Welcome to the feast. Highways, byways, strangers come. God's mercy is given.
Right. So this is the parable of the master of the house throws a banquet, and the people he invited, each one make excuses for why they cannot come.
Correct.
And then he sends out his servant, his messenger, to go get people from the highways and the byways. One of my first sermons in field work was on that parable.
Okay.
So
did you do an haiku?
I didn't do it as a haiku, but I was excited about the civil engineering implications of the wording.
You know, I must say, I do remember, wait, because this was early. This was like episode 4, maybe, something like that, when I wrote these. I remember at the time actually growing an appreciation for haiku, in the sense of the fact that you're trying to say a lot
right.
In a few words.
Right. It really illustrates the definition of poetry. I heard one time is an economy of words. So haiku forces you to say the most possible by giving you such a small package to deal with. Like, you get, 14 syllables total or whatever it is, if you strictly stick to it.
I also teach that one in sermon writing, too.
Yeah, you have made my sermon shorter. That's a good point. Not haiku yet.
But no.
That would probably, there'd be much rejoicing if I stood up there and gave a haiku and sat down again.
That'd be something I would try and do, of doing an entire sermon of haikus.
Oh, yeah.
Number two.
We are entrusted. We are not empty-handed. We're the gifts he gives.
Okay, so I think this is the parable where the master goes on a trip and he gives a certain amount of talents to each of his servants to be responsible for. And, of course, one of them invests and the other invests and the third one buries it in the yard. Is it that one?
Yes.
Oh, good. Phew. That one was very circumspect as well.
The other one is talents given out, some invest and multiply, others hide away.
Yeah, so the AI is going to be that second one, because there's no way the AI could have stripped it back to the core of the message like the first one did.
Right, right. And by the way, that was use the gifts he gives, not we.
Well, okay, I'm sorry. I feel like I've done a pretty good job of deciphering your...
Correct.
I don't even call them chicken scratches.
Well, well done.
And number one.
Beaten and robbed man, priest and Levite pass him by, Samaritan helps.
Well, I'm going to go with the Good Samaritan, my best guess.
All right.
Might have phoned a friend, but I'll use my best guess instead.
Okay.
That was pretty on the nose, and so far it sounds like AI, but I do want to hear the second one before render judgment.
Beaten, left for dead, others passed, Jesus saved me, he is my neighbor.
This seems like it's too many syllables. In any case, that would make it the pastor's poem, because the AI wouldn't be able to have any freedom. So,
no, that's exactly right. That's a 575.
Okay, I just...
Beaten, left for dead, others passed, Jesus saved me, he is my neighbor.
Okay, Well, I like that second one for the pastor and the first one for the AI.
That's right.
The first one was just sort of a summary, rather.
Right.
I mean, it wasn't very poetic. It was just a summary.
Right.
Yeah.
So in other words, to sum this up, I cleaned the AI's clock.
Yeah. Yeah. The human written haikus. At the moment, it appears that a human, especially a trained orator, like a pastor, can write a better haiku than the, at least based on the parables.
If you had given me longer than 12 minutes, I could have done better. It's all about the prompts.
Oh, you're talking. Okay, so you were the one getting the haikus.
I was generating the haikus.
That's true.
But
yeah,
he didn't give me much time. If I had more time, I could have given you a run for your money.
Well, there you go. Well, and I was just thinking maybe like a few months from now, or years especially, the AI is just going to get getting closer and closer.
Hey, Peter, I just
all you got to do is teach it the Lutheran theology that you want it to hit, and then tell it to write the haiku.
Okay.
And wrap the theology into it. But you have to do the teaching part.
Right.
Right. And sometimes the teaching is probably like use the Book of Concord or something like that.
Well, I wonder, could you train it on the Book of Concord? And that would be like some of its knowledge, so to speak, or data set, I guess is probably a better way to put it.
Yeah.
Cause that would be pretty interesting to see, to train an AI to be like a Orthodox Lutheran. You know,
so I have this idea. I just had a brilliant idea. Do you know how one of the biggest problems we have with this show is it was we get a decent amount of people listen, but not a lot of interaction.
Well, we got Chris Christian.
Right. Oh, you have an email. We're going to go through in a minute. But so here's my idea. You want to hear it, Pete?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Have like an instant messaging thing where we say it's Lutheran AI, right? And just have like Vicar and I on the other end pretending to be.
I'm sorry. Great idea. It'll never, absolutely never work.
And you've texted with
one
me,
good
huh?
reason. You have to answer the phone.
Yeah, that's true.
It would never work because AIs send messages back within 5 seconds. You would not do that.
Yeah, but that's why I said Vicar and I. Oh.
Well, yeah, when you get that off the ground for Vicar 20, that's going to be tough for him.
All right.
Let's do this then. Okay. I send a prompt to Vicar, and the prompt is, "Why did my mommy die?"
Wow.
All right. You got 5 seconds. Two, three, four. Oh nope, you're done. Oh,
it's
Sorry.
The good and gracious will of God that we will only understand later.
Okay,
that's as good as I can do.
Now answer it in haiku.
That's brutal. Oh, man. I'm not going to try that.
I'll try.
Okay.
In a while, you won't see mom.
Then in a little
That's
while.
Probably enough. That's probably okay. enough.
So it's comparable to a magic trick. Ta-da! Everything's better.
You are wise, Peter. You could tell that wasn't going anywhere.
Unfortunately, when you do enough podcasts in a row weekly, you kind of get the hint.
All right. Vicar, have you listened to the stand-up episode yet?
No, I didn't yet. I didn't.
Yeah.
I know. I need to because I've noticed that when I'm not here, you and Pete tend to make the best episodes ever. I feel that makes me feel like an anchor on the show, kind of. It's like,
no.
Why, this one is so funny.
I mean, you're not nearly as good as Berg. Those are the best ones.
Oh, yeah.
But...
I know.
Well, we haven't really. Actually, Peter and I haven't done very many of just him and I. I don't know if Peter would like to. Would you? What are your feelings if it's just you and I?
I'm not entertaining enough for that, I can't focus on you for that long.
Right.
Well, so Mrs. Vicar heard the episode where Pete forgot to do the editing, and so you guys quickly put together the arguing with the music, and she was rolling. That was so funny to her, and so you guys did a really good job on that. So that's what made me think of it.
Like, where they opened with the dedication stuff.
Yeah, the dedications, right?
Yeah,
those are funny. That was the late night. Okay, we have to figure out an episode. All right, let's go to the studio.
We had just gotten back from Mason City.
Oh,
and. Yeah. Or was it? No, it was Ames.
Ames. We went to Ames.
Oh, well. Okay.
They're like, oh, we got to do something. And Peter got to be a part of my strange brainstorming.
Yeah.
I think I helped you and you helped me.
Right.
We worked together.
That's cool.
Right. So, Anyways, we have a Confound the Clerics.
Ah.
So I wonder, what, you know, Vicar, what do you think we should do?
Is it a play the intro thing again?
Yes.
Okay. Peter, play the intro.
Confound the Clerics.
I just thought maybe we only did that for the top 12. I
couldn't remember. No. Did you hear that, Peter? He said, oh, I thought he only played the intro for the top 12 list.
Oh. Yeah, no, that's true. Well, haven't you ever listened to the podcast before?
I have, but he indicated I should do the play the intro for the Confound the
Clerics.
For Confound the Clerics.
Oh, so, do you think he's just making fun of you?
Well, sometimes I can't figure that part out, but often that turns out to be the case. So, yeah.
See, if you listen to the podcast, you'd know that I am pulling your chain, and we absolutely do intros for basically every segment.
It's kind of tough to go listen to the episode that I participated in creating because I'm just hearing, although a much smarter sounding version of
so
myself.
So before the next Vicar.
Well, good for you. You've got a huge backlog you can go listen to, you know?
It's like training the AI.
So do you think that we should do that with the next Vicar? Because a lot of times the Vicar asks, what should I do to prepare, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, if you spend too much time preparing, like, right. If I say, oh, I'm going to work on a Bible study, without my guidance, you might have to undo half of it anyways.
Right.
So I just say, just come ready to work, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Take a class.
But I'm not probably going to go back and listen to them all. I probably won't, to be honest.
But maybe I should have that when the Vicar says, oh, is there anything I can do to prepare?
Right.
Yeah. Listen to 218 episodes of the Clerical Heirs podcast.
Just listen to the podcast from 2 weeks ago. That should get you a rough estimate. The one from the one after Easter.
Can you imagine though? Like that would be listening to, like, if you listen for 12 hours a day, right?
Yeah,
that's like listening for how many weeks?
I'm working on it. Are you assuming each show is about an hour?
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. Okay, so 84 hours in 1 week. So 168 by 2 weeks. So what would that be? Another half a week? So
yeah, 2.5 weeks. That's, that would be
12 hours a day, though. Nobody can do that.
Right. Can you imagine someone doing that and not like, coming wanting to strangle me?
No.
Hey, I want to take a poll. If we have a listener who feels that they have listened to over 90% of the episodes.
Yeah.
Stop what you're doing and you're listening, unless you're driving, make a note, send us an email. Where can they get a hold of us, Vicar?
They can reach us by sending an email to feedback@clericalerrors.org. Or on Facebook, we can be found by searching for Clerical Errors Podcast. And on Twitter, our handle is @ClericalErrorsP.
At me, bro.
And
oh,
P for podcast.
The Twitter may or may not be stopping. Mr. Musk has decided to limit API access, so I can't automatically tweet when the episode goes live.
Oh.
They're going to charge like $40,000 a month for that, and that's not in the Clerical Heirs budget, so...
Oh, and we have so much Twitter engagement.
Yeah, right. I'll keep notifications on, so if you tweet at me, I'll see it, but...
Okay.
You may not see episode notifications, just I'm not sure what's going on with that entirely.
So,
stay. I'm not sure.
How do we get a Truth Social...
Maybe we could make a Rumble account. If you want to talk about all the alternative social media stuff, talk to Mrs. Vicar, who's all up to speed on where all of the different conservatives go to after they get kicked off the mainstream platforms. She knows all that.
Oh, does she have a TikTok channel?
Not TikTok. That's Chinese spying stuff, so she doesn't do that. But Rumble, Gab, Minds. Anyway.
I played with Mastodon for like 5 minutes, and Mastodon actually looks pretty good.
Okay.
It's like Twitter, but it's self-hosted.
Is that...
So it's like a mix of Twitter and Reddit.
Okay.
Where you've got your own, like, sub-Mastodon things, but they're all self-hosted. but they all can talk to each other.
Which is nice, because then you can't really shut people down.
Yeah, you can't just shut it down.
Right. Oh,
I see.
You can
block what you don't want to see. So if you've got one server that you don't trust, you can block it. But
right. Okay. Yeah, I think the Vivaldi browser that I tend to use has a Mastodon effort of some kind that I didn't really understand, so I'll have to look into it.
All right. We just lost a bunch of listeners.
If that
I actually was a Mastodon for 3 years.
That's got to be kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's impressive, seeing as Mastodon's been only out for 6 or 7 months, right?
Well, no, I was.
I think it's more of a Nebuchadnezzar thing.
No. The Indiana Purdue Fort Wayne Mastodons.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That's right. And when you go to Fort Wayne,
now
you
it's
got
just
those
Purdue
Mastodon.
It used to be Indiana statues. Purdue Fort Wayne.
Yeah, right.
So, all right. What's our question?
Yeah.
Are you asking me? Okay, I'll pull it up.
Oh,
hang
yeah.
On.
Yeah, we're supposed to be stumped, but we're pre-stumped.
I kind of want to, Vicar, and I kind of want to make it have you write a top 12 of haikus for something.
Oh, not haikus. Oh, my goodness.
That would take him 6 hours.
Yeah, at least per haiku.
You know, I actually remember doing that in like a half hour.
Yeah. That's a. I would write like 3 words, then erase 2 of them, and then just be so disparate, I'd stop and go play on the computer instead.
Go ahead.
All right, yeah, we got one, actually 2 questions. The first one comes from a 5th grader in Sunday school class. The Bible says no bones were broken in Jesus' crucifixion. Did they nail his feet to the cross? And if so, how is it possible if they did? I think the question is, wouldn't they have had to break Jesus' bones to nail his feet to the cross?
No, there's a... Is it the tarsals?
It could be that it went between the metatarsals of his feet. It could also be that the feet were kind of splayed outward so that the nail actually went through the Achilles tendon portion of the heel, mm-hmm. and the heels were kind of splayed out back to back. And so I don't know if we know the definitive answer of the anatomical way that
right.
the Romans
crucified
people.
Because you would think, like, since the nails were holding him up,
yeah.
that it would be a disadvantage to actually break bones. You need those bones
right.
for the nails to kind of hang on.
Right. I mean, we probably, all of us that have a professional interest in how Jesus died, so all of us cleric types, have heard about the way that you suffocate on the cross. That's technically how you die on a cross, is you can't breathe. And so to breathe, you have to push against and pull against the nails that are in your probably wrists and feet and make yourself upright enough to take in a breath and then exhale. And of course it's excruciating, where we get the word mm-hmm. From crucifixion, excruciating. It hurts a lot. But if they broke the bones, then he would have died of suffocation right away.
Because you can't push yourself up anymore.
You can't push yourself up to take a breath. And so in a way it was a torture. Oh, it was not just in a way, it was absolutely a torturous death intended to be that way. And so they didn't want, they broke your bones when they wanted you to die.
Right.
And that's why they broke the bones of the other two fellows. They wanted to shut down for Passover, to get ready for the Passover. And so they wanted everybody to die right away. But when they got to Jesus, he had actually already expired, of course.
Right. And the text says that we can count all his bones.
Right.
So even if, like, in a nail you cracked a bone, I don't think it necessarily would mean...
Right.
Like, it could crack a bone, still be somewhat intact, and not have, like, a full broken... Because we can count all his bones. And,
right.
And the fulfillment of the prophecy really is the fact that they didn't actively break his...
Right. They
right.
didn't. And I think the
because
Passover lambs were not... They didn't break the bones of the Passover lambs either, right? Back in
right.
Exodus?
Right.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, there are lots of ways that even in the scourging he took, you could easily break bones in that
okay.
too. So when we look at that fulfillment, one thing we say is, well, what does God's word say?
Right.
It says no bones are broken, so... So then you know.
Right.
And really the prophecy in that setting, too, is one, to show that God's word was fulfilled.
Right.
And also to be evidence to those who witnessed it. Oh, wow, look, no bones were broken. See how the prophecy is
right.
fulfilled.
To
and then
to
we, farther off, like Thomas learned to do, is trust the witnesses
right.
who actually saw that no bones were broken.
Right. And even if... It took a miracle to prevent Jesus' bones from breaking. Well, then God did that miracle because the word of God says his bones didn't break. Personally, I think that it could have just not broken by the way the nails went through his feet. Would have, his bones didn't necessarily have to break for that.
There you go. And the second question.
The second question was, when are some times that God does not hear our prayers?
Vicar, do you want to stab at that?
I think God always hears our prayers, so I'm not sure if the question's probably looking for something else besides just that simple fact.
Right.
So I think...
So I would say, first off, if our in that setting means our as in our, as in believers in Christ.
Okay.
Then that's never.
Never, right.
Right? Because, for example, in the catechism, we learn that we pray confidently, knowing that he hears us as a dear father hears his children.
Right.
So I would say if the hour is, you mentioned your Sunday school class, right?
Right.
Then it's always. And if you're thinking of, you know, I would say you might be able to say, that I would call a distinction between hearing and listening, so to speak.
Right.
Because he does hear everything.
Right.
If you're talking about hearing, responding, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Mm-hmm.
So the listening and the hearing as far as answering is done through faith in the true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God. So in faith the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, can you expect to be heard every time?
In faith, yes. You can expect to be heard every single time.
Right.
I mean, I think sometimes we desire some kind of miraculous sign, you know, mm-hmm. certainly with my background, there was a lot of people that wished for that. And I think sometimes we think that, I think it's kind of in the same thing. We're looking for like the fleece, you know, to have the water on it and the next day mm-hmm. it doesn't. And we think that that's a good thing when actually Gideon was sinning by not doing what God said, but putting God to the test.
Mm-hmm.
But God hears our prayers. And when we don't, you know, I guess the way I'm thinking of it is sometimes we don't get the answer we're looking for, and it's not for us to know the answer to the particular thing we're asking. And when we get to heaven, we will either have that question answered or it will turn out to not be important.
Right.
But God heard the prayer.
Right. I always bug me when people say, well, I'm going to ask when I'm, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not going to remember.
Yeah, there's that too. I mean, we're not omniscient.
Can you imagine like having these questions, like I've waited all my life, and then you get, what was it? Yeah. Oh, come on. It was really important.
It really was. I'm sure it was. You know. Right.
But I would say, you know, I would put it this way, in practicality, right? When you're wondering, when are our prayers, it's kind of like when someone's worried about whether or not they've committed the unforgivable sin.
Right.
If you're worried about it, you really haven't.
You haven't.
And so if you're worried, you know, oh no, my prayers to Christ Jesus may not be heard. Well, then that's the wrong. It's wrong.
Right.
Right?
You care about whether or not God hears your prayers, and therefore he does.
Right. But if you pray, I wonder if God hears my prayers to Allah. Well, no. No.
Hmm.
Right. Kind of like if I went home and called my wife by a different name, I could expect to not be heard for a long time. Right?
I think that might get a response from her, to be honest. I think she'd hear it if you suddenly said the wrong
name. I guess that's a good point, because... certainly God hears when you pray to a false god.
Yeah.
He hears that.
Right.
But it's not in a way that's good for you.
No.
Kind of like what we say with the Lord's Prayer or the Lord's Supper. If someone comes to the Lord's Supper at this congregation, whether they believe it or not, they're going to receive the Lord's Supper.
That's right.
The difference is it for their benefit, for their forgiveness,
right,
or for their discipline.
Right.
That's the difference.
No, good point. Yeah.
So hopefully we answer that question.
Yeah. I wonder, it'd be interesting if if the sender would have a follow-up, because especially if we didn't get at the intent of the question, I would love to hear a follow-up.
Right. And so, listener, if you want to, because we may not know if there's a little more behind the question, fire off an email. Let us know if you've listened to, 95% of the shows.
Yeah, curious.
All right. That is enough. I never do so well when there's two episodes in 1 week that we're trying to record. So
Yeah. I was trying to remember, by the time this one is the episode that's on the air, we will be past vicar assignment night and call night. So
yeah.
And so technically,
right,
we know who it is.
We'll find out about the app update a little bit more.
Vicar 20.0 will be a known thing by the time this airs.
So if he's listening, any quick advice?
Quick advice.
Did you listen to any of the podcasts before you came?
I was told about them by Vicar 17. I guess it's Adam, so don't they get a name after they get a call to be a pastor?
Yeah.
So Pastor Bauman told me what it was like and that it'd be okay. Didn't have to worry about it too much. So,
but I don't want you getting too comfortable.
No, not like that. Right.
All right. We're going to end it here. Hey, why don't you driving the show?
I've been burned on this so many times. Okay. All right. May your.
Whoa.
It's good. Okay. What did I do? Whoa. I forgot something.
Slow down. Take a deep breath.
Are you going to let him go first?
I thought that's what he was doing.
It's I'm going to let him go first. But here's the thing. It's kind of like, when I go on vacation, as you're listening to this, I'm probably in the air, right? Mm-hmm.
You're
he can maybe take 5 minutes and sit in my chair in my office, but then he's got to go. I'm just like, this is one of those situations.
Okay.
Right. So see if you've been paying attention. So we're going to end the show. What happens, Vicar?
Peter, play the outro.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
You have done 30 episodes with us.
I have done a bunch. Let's see.
Who are you? Who are you? I don't even know who you are anymore.
Well, you do the blessing thing or the sign off thing and you say, may your whatever be your other whatever.
I want you to think. Okay. Who are you?
This is Vicar.
This is Bullhagen.
And we're the Clerical Errors Podcast.
Thank you for joining us. This podcast is available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Questions, thoughts, concerns? You can contact us on Facebook at facebook.com/clericalerrorspodcast, on Twitter at clericalerrorsp for podcast, or email us at feedback@clericalerrors.org. Thanks for listening to Clerical Errors. See you next time.
This is amazing. This is.
I'm ending it there. I'm ending it there. This is going to be the first one without a blessing. I'm going to end it right there. I think that's funny. If you want to give a blessing, Bullhagen, we'll cut this in after the outro. Okay, so we're talking again.
Okay.
Okay, so do you want to give a blessing since Vicar couldn't?
All right, I'm Bullhagen.
This is Vicar.
Thank you for listening, and may your...
May your haikus be actually intelligent.
cut this in.
He just asked to do a list. He asked to do a list. He's good. All right, the next episode will be Vicar's intelligent haikus on the parables.
Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Ending it here.
No.